Well, we're back on the porch talking about presence, and again, last week's theme of, you know, a central theme in your spiritual life is being fully present in the present moment to the presence of God. And we're going to talk today about silence and basically how learning to develop the discipline of silence really helps you to learn to become present. And of course, with me today is my good friend Bev Gorman, who back in the day was a cheerleader, and she's been a cheerleader for me my whole life. So Bev, why don't you interact a little bit with this idea? You know, Bev's really become an expert in the Enneagram and taught me so much about my spiritual life from the Enneagram. But the Enneagram has a lot to say about the whole idea of what it means to be silent and what's holding us back from being fully present.
So, yeah, it's interesting because one of the things that happens for, well, different types of people is that there are things that come and start to sabotage silence in terms of, and I don't even know, what would you, maybe before we do that, what would you describe, what is silence? What are you talking about when you even use that term?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought us back to that because I think a lot of people think, well, I'm going to go experience God and I'm going to go walk out in the woods and I'll be have a time of 3 hours of being silent. And it becomes the most frustrating experience they've ever had in their life because you have this misconception that if you be quiet, everything will get quiet. And, you know, the reality of the matter is
louder.
The noise gets loud, very loud. Yeah. Your mind starts going in other kinds of direction. And so, like, when the scriptures talk to us in Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Silence is a verb, and silence is about learning to silence the noise that is breaking the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I ask you that question about the Enneagram is because I think the Enneagram really helps us to identify three very, very important things that become the noise that breaks our ability to be present and just breaks the silence.
Right. So, and from that perspective, there's three different kind of emotional places that we spend most of our time. The first one would be the noise of anger. Anger from the perspective of not being able to get my way and my will and the sense of I want to do things my way. But the noise for those type of people that go to anger is the noise of basically either trying to shout out through anger, deny anger, or suppress it. But in all those three areas, there's no place for silence because the anger is really driving the train, it's driving the engine, it's driving the way that they're negotiating that.
And you know, I think an interesting thing, it's almost like Alfred E. Newman, you know, his big thing is what me worry. And I remember very early on in my Christian life hearing about anger, and I thought to myself, what me angry? Took me about 20 years to realize I do have some anger.
Yeah, just a little. So ticked off, I could kick the dog. But but that noise is the noise that drowns out the ability to be fully present because that is an underlying theme that I'm either overreacting, I'm completely denying, or I'm really repressing that. And then for the other types, shame is really the loudness that gets into the place of the silence of their soul. And the shame is of that I just don't matter. I have no value. I have no worth. I have no, I'm not esteemed. And it becomes very important for other voices then to fill that shame within someone's soul. And so the voices and the loudness is from everyone else and the attempts to constantly get that gratification of I'm okay, right? I'm okay. I'm loved. I'm worth something. I have value. But the silence then is there's no place for silence because I'm always listening to these other voices.
Yeah, and see, the You know, we talked last week about the idea of being aware. I'm somebody who's very vulnerable to shame. And as I've become more and more in touch with it, it becomes almost like 80% of my mind. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, my motivation and reaction is shame, and really, what do other people think of me?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't live in the presence of other people.
Right.
Because in a sense, they've become your God.
Mm-hmm.
And to become fully present of God, are you looking to what other people think, or are you looking to what God thinks?
Yeah. And so that really becomes their, they can't be present even within them and their own selves, because it's always about somebody else filling that for them. But the last group would be, they would be really affected by fear, and they call that monkey mind, where,
yeah,
you know, our mind's a tree of chattering monkeys, and the fear just gets ramped up in terms of always looking at projections into the future, or anxiety, or just this inability to trust my own inner guide, that the Spirit of God is directing me and guiding me, and that it's trustworthy and it's safe and it's secure, and that I can land on that. And, you know, once our mind starts moving, there's no place for silence, because the mind is just chattering.
Yeah.
And really coming into this place of, through contemplative prayer, of quiet mind, and really quieting the noise of anxiety and panic and fear and dread that just will rob us of ever being fully present.
Yeah. And so I think it's really important to realize that, you know, fear, anger, and shame are voices that knock us out of the presence of God. And so our ability to be fully present, and really the big thing is our ability to be fully alive is destroyed by these becoming, dominating our mind and dominating our motivation. We really can't be free. We really can't enter fully into life, let alone enter fully into who God is.
Well, the crazy thing too is, and what they're finding more and more, is that actually the key is in our bodies, because our bodies are holding the anger, our bodies are holding the fear, and our bodies are holding the shame. There's actually been neural transmitters and pathways that have been set up within us that as soon as we, it's almost like a drug addict with heroin. As soon as you take that shot, it's like, boom, I'm off to the races. And part of what's entering into stillness and silence in terms of, from a contemplative standpoint, is beginning to even notice, what does fear feel like in my body? How do I experience fear? You know, what is anger? Am I numb, or do I have like rage? Does it feel like my blood's boiling? Am I like breaking out in hives because I'm suppressed? Like, there's all these clues. God has given us this incarnational pathway to notice, and that pathway, as we come into awareness and presence, those neural transmitters and those neural pathways are rebooted.
Yeah, and see, the last time we talked about this, the idea of being awakened, and see, fear, shame, and anger, if they're hidden or if they're in darkness, have tremendous power.
Mm-hmm.
When you become fully aware that this is what you're feeling, you're putting those in light, and light can begin to bring healing and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But they really function. See, when God in the garden came to Adam, and Adam had already begun clothing himself, he began shutting himself and shutting life from being able to come into his existence.
Mm-hmm. And so I think the challenge for us as we walk in understanding silence is how I think what you're saying is taking those voices and becoming aware of them is part of entering into silence, because we're actually bringing awareness to this is derailing me. And as long as I don't know that, that monkey mind or that anger or that shame, I'm off to the races. It's just my default. I'm just boom, there I am. But as soon as I come into that place of just even recognizing I'm afraid, I'm angry, and I'm actually a lot of shame is I hate myself. I don't, and just becoming aware of that and present to that, and it takes a place of, as we notice, we get free. As like what you're saying, what's done in the darkness shall be brought to light. As we have awareness into those things, we bring them into the light, and then we start to say, yes, this is my true experience. I'm not denying this. This is I'm carrying this shame, and it's deeply, deeply impacting everything in my life.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, I think what we have to do is look at two dimensions of silence. One dimension is the dimension that it's a verb, and that is, it's saying to our noise to shut up, mm-hmm. or it's becoming aware of our noise in order to shut it up is probably a better way of mm-hmm. saying it. So silence, we have to see, is a verb. It isn't, you know, it is a place we go to, but it is the presence of God. But one of the ways we get to the presence of God is we've got to learn to shut down the noise. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, silence is a discipline. And as you begin practicing silence, just like going to the gym, you begin to build up the muscle of silence. So to take a 30-minute walk into the woods, not with the intention of seeing God, but just to be quiet, take time and turn your radio off. Henry Nouwen suggests, and this is a beginning thing of what we're suggesting with presence, sit and be quiet every day for 5 minutes with no agenda. The agenda isn't to pray for people. The agenda isn't to be with God. The agenda is to just to be silence. And the reason is because that will help you to begin building the muscle of silence in your life. And so the thing that Bev's talking about, you need that muscle of silence to become aware of your anger or your fear or your shame. Because when you sit down and you have 50,000 things rushing through your mind, if you can't slow it down, you can never get in touch with any of those things. The discipline, the exercise of developing the muscle of silence really helps you to get in touch with yourself.
To learn more about The Meadow, go to www.meadow4.org. There you can sign up for our email list to learn about upcoming events in the Baltimore area, as well as upcoming retreats in Western Maryland. We've kicked off our summer podcast series, The Podcast on the Porch, where we talk about current and relative topics in regards to Christian spirituality. Subscribe to our Podbean page to hear more.